I'm Jan Suk Fong Lee.
And I'm Dina Del Bucchia.
And this is Can't Lit.
Can't Lit. Talk about books and stuff.
You all ready for this? Podcast. Can't Lit. Oh, Rosie did not like our terrible singing. Hello, listeners.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. Dina and Jen here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, friends.
Do you want to introduce our guest?
Our guest is the esteemed novelist, poet, director of the Fraser Valley Lit Fest, Andrea McPherson. That is Rosie barking. Shh.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Thanks for coming out here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Rosie, are you okay?
Yeah,
you're fine.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Good job. Securing the perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Rosie, please come clean my feet. They're very dirty. She loves to lick my feet and legs, as the listeners know. So
yeah,
it's I wore sandals today, so
they're especially sweaty and gritty.
They're
gritty,
full of dirt. And I watered my garden right before I came here, so I was touching dirt.
You're good to go.
Touching the dirt.
Mm-hmm. So Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great. We had some wine. We've already been yelling at each other for
yelling about
half an
so
hour.
So many things that are mm-hmm. not for public consumption.
Definitely not.
Oh, some of it. I mean, we've been yelling about like what men I might have dated who may or may not listen to the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, just normal stuff.
Yeah. You guys know. Friends of the podcast. You know what?
It's summer now, so we're just really easy breezy about the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's really casual now.
I think we all have a tan. All three of us have a bit of a tan.
We do. Yeah.
We're working on our summer bodies.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
AKA just having our summer bodies outside in the summerness.
Just having a body outside.
In the sun.
Yeah. The sunshine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had my first patio rosé the other day. It was very satisfying.
Very nice.
Good for you.
Very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It was real nice.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love a patio.
Same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is not to love?
Nothing. There's nothing not to love.
Yeah.
But a patio, glass of wine, snacks.
Snacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jen has, of course, provided a beautiful spread.
Mm-hmm. I am very good at snacks. Friends of the podcast need to know all I do is provide snacks, and I feel really good about this skill. Rosie's agreeing with everybody, with me.
Rosie has an aggressive positivity that she wants to express for these snacks that are on the table right here.
I feel like for the first few podcasts we did with her, she would just immediately fall asleep as soon as we got the mics out. Like she knew. And now she's getting all cheeky.
Yeah, she's really jazzed up.
She is.
Rosie, what's happening? Just kidding. Jen.
You're not sure.
Yeah.
What's happening?
You know, I mean, lots of stuff is happening, but like maybe the thing that's relevant for the podcast is like I wrote this essay about like Anne of Green Gables and mm-hmm. like my father's death, and it was in The Walrus. I think it's in the print. I don't know yet, but it was definitely online. They did a whole series called How We Die Now. What a cheerful title for
super
a series.
Super uplifting.
Yeah, so uplifting. But it did really well, and it kind of went, I don't know what people call viral anymore, but I hesitate to say, but I think a lot of people read it. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of like,
I mean, if it goes
comments.
Viral, I feel like someone has to get ill. Like there has to be mass vomiting.
Oh yeah.
Or like diarrhea.
So let's just say it blew up.
Okay, great.
It blew mm-hmm. up. It made the rounds.
Is that the way that we're supposed to think of viral?
But
it's infecting people in a way.
And then your ass blows up.
Yeah.
An uncomfortable way.
Yes. Yeah. This is what I'm going with.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Great. Everyone's doing great.
It's great.
Everyone's doing great.
Anyway, what I've come to understand about it is that people like to read about my sad child self.
Right.
And like, you know, sad things. It's a very sad essay, but it was nice to see that like sort of, because that Anne of Green Gables essay is sort of forming the core of this like nonfiction memoir book that I'm writing. So it's really nice to see that people responded to it, and
people really were responding positively.
Mm-hmm.
But also to tell you how much crying they were doing.
Everybody was tweeting at me or they're messaging me about their own experiences with grief, and also their experiences with Anne of Green Gables, which is often very tied up in grief for whatever reason.
The connectivity that people had was like mm-hmm. beautiful.
I'm not the only person apparently who sought comfort in those books, and I think it's a really lovely thing that people are responding to that.
At the last Real Vancouver event, mm-hmm. C.E. Gashlin.
Yes, that's right.
Also read a piece about Anne of Green Gables.
Oh.
New book, Double Melancholy, out with Arsenal Pulp Press
right
now.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, also, it was just that those came almost in the same week.
Yes.
Like yeah. your piece came out and then I heard him read from the book for the first time.
And I had no idea he was writing that book.
Me neither. Yeah. Or I had no idea that was part of it.
Yeah.
And then that essay also was republished online.
You know, it's funny. Recently. I think I might have gone to high school with him, but I'm not sure.
What?
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to look it up.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I have to look.
That was a good reading.
It was good. It was good. Real Vancouver was a lot of fun. Yeah. Apparently, I was dancing drunkenly. I don't remember.
You was
I?
You were.
Was
you
I?
Super were. There was a lot of stuff you were doing.
It's fine. That was the night that I hurt my neck, and then I didn't deal with it really for weeks, and now I am in constant pain.
Wait, tell us, Dina, then what's happening? Tell us about your pain.
I'm in a lot of pain. Also, I'm out of muscle relaxants, which is
that's never
terrible.
Good. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs a muscle relaxant.
Yeah, when I went to the doctor, he was like, okay, well, I'm giving you muscle relaxants, naproxen, a cream,
ooh,
and a referral for massage therapy. Like, I got it all.
Right.
And this is the worst it's ever been. So last week when I went to my massage therapist, and then she was like, you need to come back weekly until this is
weekly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty rough. And if you, I mean, I don't know, I'm going to just put the mic to my neck. I doubt you can hear this, but the sounds that this is making, it's like if, you know, the really stiff plasticky paper that they wrap your flowers in.
Yeah.
That if you crinkled that up, that's what my neck sounds like.
Are you joking?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure no one can hear that, but it sounds real bad.
I just want friends of the podcast to know that if you see Dina at an event and she's brought like booze and ice, that this is what your enjoyment is doing to Dina's party.
Anyway, I am not going to make those choices again. On the positive side, right when our guest got here, we obviously talked about bikinis because we all love bikinis. We love summer. Andrea is the only person who owns more bikinis than I do that I know.
Which is shocking to me.
I think you, I definitely think you own more, but I do kind of rotate through them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But I just got a new bikini, so that's exciting. Actually, I had two new bikinis this summer. I got my watermelon print one.
Yeah.
And then I got a lemon print, so I have a real fruit theme going on this
like
summer.
Like Carmen Miranda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Putting those fruit bikinis on my melons. So, and this week is kind of the last week that I really have a lot of intense events. I just finished the masterclass that I had talked about previously. I think it went well. Everyone in the class was so lovely. Yeah. It was amazing to talk to people. And the Canadian Nonfiction Collective is lovely, and their conference is great. I got to talk to so many people today, and so that was good. So I'm hoping that now, finally, maybe after almost a year, no, over a year, no, almost a year, I will maybe start writing again.
Oh, I'm very excited for you
maybe,
to start writing
but
again.
Also, who knows? And if I don't, don't come for me.
Fair.
I'm going to do what I got to do.
No one's going to come for you.
You know, I've written enough books to last a lifetime.
Maybe not a lifetime.
I don't know.
Enough for, you can take a break.
You know what, hon? Whenever other people need to be published, so I can just
I can just
lounge in my fruit suits,
in my fruit suits that are tied to my melons,
hanging in my fruit suits, hanging in my fruit suits.
Yep.
I'm gonna eat fruit in my fruit suits.
I think
I love.
Will you eat the fruit that's on your suit, like to make it like a meta thing?
I just spilled because I started laughing. Yes,
of lemonade,
I will. I'm gonna have
slice
to
slice a watermelon. You're all good.
I do. Yeah, definitely have to have matching fruits.
Mm-hmm. Can I make you one of my favorite salads this summer? Which is
it a watermelon salad?
It's watermelon feta.
Yes,
mint. And mint.
That's the best salad.
It's the best salad.
It's one of the best salads. Agree.
Friends of the podcast, best salad.
It's a very, very good salad.
It's very good salad.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. I like citrus, I like watermelon, and I love swimwear. Andrea, what's happening with you?
I am kind of writing. I'm on a teaching break, so.
Do you ever stop writing, though?
I do. I don't write at all when I'm teaching.
Oh, really?
Not at all.
I just feel like you're so productive.
I feel like that's just a big fat lie, because there was a really long break between novel 2 and novel 3. And I'm not writing poetry at all. So that will be the big lag now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in a novel mode?
I'm in a novel, which sprung up and is not at all what I thought I'd be writing and is not the process I usually use. So it's interesting.
You seem really interested in the subject, though. Like you,
I am.
Yeah, have you don't have to reveal anything, but it seems like you have. Yeah, definitely been like bringing it up and thinking about the research aspect. And
and I have a research assistant in the fall, so I'm very excited for that.
That's awesome. Very cool.
I had her last year too, and she's awesome. So she'll do all the hard work, and I'll just do the fun stuff.
Like, do you just send her an email with like, this is what I need to know?
We have like monthly meetings. She comes in and she's like, what do you want me to do? And we discuss it. And she comes back with like 17 pages of research notes.
Good God. Do you have a spreadsheet or anything that you like track stuff
in? I am terrible with that stuff. No, I'm like, she'll send me stuff and I print it out and then like tack it on the wall. Like,
that's fine.
I'm very like visual. I can't have five documents open. I have to have like a pin board with stuff on it.
Oh my God. That was the funniest part today. So I had made a PowerPoint for the presentation, but for some reason the embedded videos weren't playing.
I feel like this happened when you and I did a presentation. That was one time.
But I used a different format. So anyway, it could have been because the Wi-Fi wasn't working. There could have been a ton of different reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I had them saved already in, I'd obviously recently looked at them in YouTube. So I just looked in YouTube, but I always have so many tabs open and everyone got to see my tab shame.
Oh no. Like, what was it?
There's just tons of tabs. Just like
everything.
I am a real tab slut and I love to have a lot of tabs open and I don't care who knows it. I mean, one of the tabs is about my aquarium game that I play on my phone, my fish tapping game. And literally it was like a Reddit page about new summer fish event. Anyway, I'm very uncool, everyone. If you play Abyssrium, please tweet at me.
Oh my God.
It's very embarrassing. But that was clearly like the closest tab to the YouTube. So people for sure could have seen it. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
It's fine.
I don't care. I have no shame about...
I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Of course.
Like, a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your most recent novel, What We Once Believed, shortlisted for...
The Ethel Wilson Fiction Prize
at the BC Book Prizes 2018. Beautiful book.
Beautiful.
Stolen from your grasp by beloved... Canlit sweetheart David Cherryandy.
Hi David. You're too busy.
You also were shortlisted at the same time as friend of the podcast, co-creator of the podcast, Daniel Zomprelli. 100%. Like what a dreamy year that was.
That was a good shortlist.
It was
a good one.
I feel like I just wanted to hug and kiss everyone that was on that shortlist.
Wasn't Eden Robinson on that shortlist?
Yeah.
What a dream shortlist that was.
I feel bad that there's one other person that I can't remember.
I presented that prize. Who was it?
I don't know. I did not present that, so it didn't matter.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
I didn't have to remember.
Whoever it is. Zoe Lee Peterson.
Oh, my God. Also, total darling of the
lovely friend of the podcast. Yeah. Whom we
Zoe
love.
Lee Peterson, we still want you to be on the podcast. Please.
Please come to Vancouver.
We love you. You're Zoe a beautiful Peterson. Person.
Can't believe I forgot that. There you go.
What a babe.
But you remembered.
She's a babe. She's a babe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love her. Please come on the podcast. Please come back.
I have a question related to your productivity since Gina already mentioned it. So you've written a lot of books. I actually had to go to your website because I couldn't remember all of them.
I did too.
Three novels, three collections of poetry, right?
Yes.
Right.
Three,
read all the time.
I do read a lot.
You read maybe more than anyone.
I don't know if anyone
that,
is correct.
That we but know, I think.
She reads more than some people who like to display how much they read on the social medias. You do read, as much as those people. But can I ask you, are you actually this productive? Is it like you think about books and writing all the time? One of those people who does it all the time.
All the time.
And is it fun? Is it fun for you to do that?
I think that the only reason I'm thinking about it all the time is because I'm teaching all the time. So the more I talk about it, the more I think about it. And I long time ago realized that when I made my students write something, I could also write something.
Yeah.
So when I give them prompts, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. I don't feel super, I don't feel productive at all. Like at all. But I think it's...
Trust me, you're productive.
It's the lag, though. Because, like, okay, so for instance, it looks like I had a novel and two poetry collections come out within 2 years. But one was supposed to come out years before, and the house folded.
Well,
and
stuff like that happens all the time, yeah.
Right. So it's I think it looks different from an outside perspective than from my perspective, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't feel productive at all.
I'm going to do a follow-up question, but do you only... You're working on one project at a time. Or are you doing overlapping work?
Well, I'm almost always working on a fiction piece and poetry at the same time.
Oh, same.
Right?
Yeah. At the same time, you can do that?
Yeah. Well, because...
I think the two genres are distinct enough that you can do it.
Totally agree. I could not do two fiction pieces or two poetry pieces.
Yeah.
And poetry takes me a lot longer than fiction. So... when I'm like, I can't write a scene for a novel, I'll just switch to try writing a poem, blah, blah, back and forth. I totally agree. They work well together.
And I think that they play off each other in a way. I don't know. Maybe you find this as well. They play off each other in a way that I think actually helps in the writing of the other form.
Totally.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's a way to trick yourself into thinking, you can still write something, even if it's not what you want to write, right? Like if you're like, I'm going to write two chapters today, it doesn't happen. You can flip to something else and it works.
Yeah. And it's almost like your brain gets to go into a different headspace.
100%.
And you can push through on another. Yeah.
Oh, Andrea, love you. Love this.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
And I know not everyone can do this, but yeah, for me, it's almost like, even though it's still writing or work, it's like a break.
Oh, because they're so different, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure other genres work as well. Like, I don't know if I could do fiction. Like, I can't write nonfiction to save my life. So,
I'm so bad at it.
I'm pretty sure I could not write, like, a novel and a piece of nonfiction at the same time.
No, I actually, I don't think I could either, to be honest. And
prose
I do write nonfiction.
Overall has to be separate from the poetry line, from the verse line. Yeah.
I agree.
Awesome.
Well, one of the things I love most about your writing, which I've been following for a really long time, it's like 1996, is this sort of thread that I see all the time about like how women want things that they shouldn't. Sometimes they get them, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. And it feels almost transgressive to me. There's this transgression that happens where women want things that they shouldn't and they get them.
Right.
So what is it about this theme? And there's shame involved. There's always shame.
Always.
Always shame. Mm-hmm. So what is it about this theme for you that you return to it again and again?
I've never like thought about it that way, but I absolutely see what you're saying. I think it's the idea of, I think we're taught from a very young age that there's expectations of what we should want and what we should do. And it's the should that's the interesting part, because
should or should not. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, because what we're taught is okay. And what you should want in life isn't always what you do. So I think it's the question of what if you take the path you're not supposed to take and what happens then.
So that, so when you start, like I say, a novel, is that where you go, your brain goes? What if this protagonist does the thing that she's not supposed to do?
I do not plan anything when I write.
Okay, this is the first question that I wanted to ask is...
Excellent!
And not just for this... It doesn't have to just be for this novel, and it could be specifically because maybe every project for you is different. That totally makes sense. But I wanted to know what the entry point is for this novel. Like, how did you find yourself in this particular story? And maybe you want to also, mention how you found yourself in other narratives that you were telling, as Jen says, that kind of are threading this line.
Mm-hmm. This one particularly was a few years ago. My daughter was having a shower and she started singing the word maybe for some reason. And when she started singing it, I had this idea of a character and I just heard the character talking, and that, like, I had no plan at all. I never have a plan for the books. It's always, I just write it and see what happens.
That's so interesting.
I'm kind of adverse to outlines in general.
Do you outline later on?
I'll outline in like a final draft revision.
I love
but
this.
I don't at all ahead of time. So
I love also to just like blast through and then go back and look at everything.
Yeah. And I never have an idea of where the story's going. I just kind of, I think I start with character and it's someone who's talking to me.
I think you always start with character.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a character based.
Yeah.
entry point.
It's like I can hear one of the characters talking, and then that is the starting point for the rest of it.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the most efficient way to do it.
I don't think it is either.
Efficiency is not the outcome, though, right?
But do you not think, though, that gives it the drive?
I do, yeah.
Like, I think that we talk about the concept of efficiency, and we want to have these things that make it seem like it's really practical, you know, crafting an outline and trying to stick to this and thinking about structure. But actually, the hardest part can be just like literally pushing yourself through the whole narrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like if you're driven to do it, if you're compelled by the character, if you're compelled by the story, then that's what fucking matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like my immediate like downfall is like plot and pacing, because I'll just be happy to like sit and listen to a character talk about themselves or do whatever. So I'm aware that that's my downfall. So it's a catch 22 with following a character versus following a actual structure and a narrative.
Right. But I mean, this has a lot of structure.
There's a lot of plot in this
and a lot of plot. Yeah. Actually. And there's multiple characters who are followed.
Right.
So how did you organize that part of it then?
So
once you got in there,
well, the original draft of it was just Maybe, who's the 11-year-old girl. And then that got really boring after a while.
Right.
So then there became all these other voices, and it became more about women versus her experience. So I think I kind of just stumble through until something organically clicks. And I don't know if I've ever had a book that hasn't had multiple narrators and multiple
characters. I don't think you have. They've all had multiple protagonists almost, right?
Like all the way through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, I'll sort of summarize, but the book is about, primarily this young girl.
This is What We Once Believed.
Yeah.
Andrew's novel.
Yeah. What We Once Believed with Caitlin Press.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lovely press. We love you.
Mm-hmm. Big ups, Caitlin.
Yep. And it takes place in the early 70s, and her mother has left her when she was very small, and she's being raised by her grandmother in this very small community. And it's also then about the lives of the other women sort of in this little neighborhood. It's all chill.
Andrew got a text.
Andrew's popular.
Who is the text from?
We're not going to look.
Okay.
Oh.
Too bad.
Wow.
Too bad. Sorry.
This isn't a gossip cast.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is. It kind of is.
Yeah, What We Once Believed. And actually, one of the, I think, themes about What We Once Believed that people don't think about so often is this sort of like, is it second wave feminism? Mm-hmm. I guess second wave feminism, this sort of 70s Gloria Steinem kind of, you know, because the Maybe, who's the 11-year-old girl, her mother, who left her, actually became like a Gloria Steinem Camille, type character. Yeah. Camille becomes writes a feminist sort of book and is continuing to write feminist stuff. And how does that play out with her relationship with her daughter, with whom she was never really a mother?
Yeah. So now she returns after all these years back to her mother and her child.
Yeah.
And this fucking book is hanging over them all.
And it's all alive.
The book's hanging kind of over all of the women.
Right.
So there's a bit of a meta narrative in terms of like, the way books have this power, and then you're writing the stories of these women who in so many ways are kind of like either fighting for power or accepting the limitations of the power they can achieve. And
for sure,
fucking hell.
Right. And I mean, like, one of the things reading that novel, which always struck me, is that all of the women who have a voice in this novel are quite different. And, and something that I think we don't talk about, like, we talk about diversity in terms of race and gender and stuff. But what I find really fascinating about this novel is the diversity of age, which I think we don't talk about enough in terms of craft. How do we write different characters of different ages? You have an 11-year-old and you have grandma, and then you have everything in between.
And then there's also like women who are older than the grandmother and, you know,
right. The one who dies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, spoiler. RIP Mrs. Eames.
She drank a lot of tea. You knew her time was coming.
She was ready.
She had lived a life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
how
also
didn't.
Yeah,
because she was just waiting.
Yeah.
Like,
she was waiting. So how do you do that, though? How do you think you get into the head in one novel of a child and somebody who's like 90?
I think I like, I draw on my own experiences and then also imagine what the future will hold, but then like pull from other people. Like you're always pulling from other people.
Yeah.
So I thought about like both of my grandmothers who were at different times, both wildly unhappy and very unsatisfied with their lives, and what that looked like and how you navigate that. Like, what do you do when you think you look at your life and you feel like it's either been a waste or you didn't do what you wanted to do or you made the wrong decision? Like what does that look like in the end?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like it's super interesting to kind of see also not just women at different ages, but they all have different ideas like about the burgeoning, concept of feminism and what that looks like.
Yep.
And so were you kind of thinking also about sort of the generational lines and the like ideological lines of these women? Mm-hmm. Because all of that ties it's hewn very, very closely to who they are and their experience. And it's so insular.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that I didn't realize when I was writing it was how much it still reflected today, because the kind of like rights and like reproductive issues that they were dealing with in the 70s, we're still dealing with now.
Still
like
happening.
The same thing. And to think that like this is set a few years after like you could get the pill without having to be married, or you could have the pill without your husband signing off on it. Like that's shocking to me that it's only 45 years ago that that happened. So I guess thinking about how each of them experienced life and how limiting in certain ways their lives were, was important to the book in general.
Yeah.
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 I love also that there are all these layered relationships within the novel, because again, it's this small community. Mm-hmm. And so each of them sort of has like a specific relationship to kind of the rest of the people that are in the novel. And yet like they know so much about each other in that way that people in small communities do. Like I grew up in a small community and sort of, you know, so there's the whisper network, the gossip network, all of those things. But at the same time, they also all have so many secrets and hold those secrets so close to themselves. Yeah. So was that something you were intentionally wanting to explore?
Yeah, because I'm super fascinated about all the things you could keep a secret before social media. That there was lots of things no one knew about you, and you could have, like, my great grandmother had 7 children and 5 of them had different fathers, and no one knew anything. No one had any idea about who belonged to who or what was what. And she could keep that a secret. That would never happen now. So the idea of there's a specific time in our recent history where you were allowed to have, I guess, a more closed experience than you can have now.
Yeah. I just also always find that fascinating because I grew up in a small community. Mm-hmm. So just kind of seeing that dynamic play out I'm always interested in it because it is so specific. Mm-hmm. And even that couldn't have, like, the way that we can sort of disappear in an urban setting is so different from what can happen in a smaller space, a smaller community. Yeah.
And the idea of it being like protective, but also harmful in a way that it's uncomfortable.
Like the idea of community as a concept being both something that almost can self-harm those within it, but also protect it and sometimes protect the wrong people
There was an air of mystery that we no longer have. I don't think at this point.
Yeah.
We should try to cultivate that.
Yeah.
Should we try that?
Let's each of us have more secrets.
I have some. Hey, can we talk about the Fraser Valley Lit Fest, though?
Yes.
Sure.
Because what's your title there? Creative director?
Artistic director.
Wait, can I ask one more question about the novel?
The question, sorry. Dina.
I just wanted to say that I feel really bad for Camille.
Mm. Oh, I know.
In the book.
Poor Camille.
And you don't really demonize any of your characters, but you kind of give them like a fair assessment from the other characters.
Okay.
I think. Because that part of the novel is you're not just seeing the character from their own POV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're also seeing everyone else around them mm-hmm. judging them. Like mm-hmm. there's tons of judgment. And again, we already talked about the small town thing. But like as a person who once said that if I had a child and a family, I would 100% a Doll's House them. I was like, Camille, my buddy, like what's happening with you?
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that, you know, it obviously, her whole story also is the crux of the dramatic action that happens.
Yeah.
The other women are reading her book. Mm-hmm. People know her as like also more coming from the artist side. There's another artist as well in the community and who is queer. And it's very mm-hmm. obvious to the reader, but not to the other people in the community, mm-hmm. because that was something that was just at that time in that small community, like not obvious to people. So... I wrote so much here that I have to go down.
That's good.
Oh, what I was going to ask is that I feel like, so, and her mother mm-hmm. ends up being a much more likable character because weirdly she does the work, the traditional work.
Right.
Yeah. So like, even as you're reading the book, you're like, poor, Gigi, that's her name. Yeah. You know, she takes care of this kid after mm-hmm. her daughter leaves and blah, 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 blah. Even though both of their struggles in so many ways are not that different in terms of like the stress they're experiencing. Yeah. But because she does what is considered the noble thing, mm-hmm. she gets more props, not just from the community. But I think even as a reader, like I think a different reader, not me, would also be like, mm-hmm. fuck Camille.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I was like, no, leave Camille. I was that kid with the Britney video. I was like, leave Camille alone. She's got to live her own truth. So I guess my question is sort of like, how did you explore? Because those are two like extremely distinct narratives and then sort of maybe kind of falls in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you want to explore that particular mother daughter relationship, and then also factoring in maybe, because to me, like, obviously that's the, you know, main story of the novel, but Camille is fascinating. And Gigi is fascinating too. Like everyone is super interesting.
I think that's interesting to hear because a lot of pushback on Camille that they wanted, saying they very broadly, wanted me to make her more likable and to make her,
she was
likable
to me.
Wasn't unlikable.
I got a lot of feedback that she should have like an epiphany and figure out she'd done things wrong and she should do this. No, I don't want her to do that.
Seeing her have to live the truth and mm-hmm. also cope with it. It's not that like she is still harmed by
the
things that happen.
Of course she is.
It's just so different. And it's mm-hmm. again, it's not coming from this traditional domestic space. And I think people's reaction to it, frankly, it's fucking rude.
Well, I can tell. It just goes on to that. It just leads into this whole thing about like motherhood and what people think mothers should be,
mm-hmm.
and like these roles that we create for women, mm-hmm. and like if you have a child, this is the kind of mother you should
like
be.
Like you have to fit into the box of what that,
which goes
look like.
Into this whole reproductive rights thing. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, please continue.
No, so I really resisted. There was a lot of discussion around changing her arc and have her have like this come to Jesus moment where she realizes that I screwed everything up and I should have just stayed home and cleaned some diapers. And I didn't want to do that because that wasn't her purpose and her story. So I think it's interesting. It goes that the whole discussion about like likability too, that people found her unlikable, that because she didn't make the traditional choices and the traditional, or she didn't fit the traditional role, that would be a problem. And I never saw it as a problem.
Also for her to, again, obviously mm-hmm. that is an imposition on her mother, but she chose someone that is caring, mm-hmm. that is a nurturing person, mm-hmm. and that has love to give. And I think even in her own weird way, she is trying to show love and reverence to her child.
Right.
But it's not going to be in a way that, and at the time too, I think to make the choice that she did, mm-hmm. it had to be in this particular way.
Right.
It's not just, you know, her wanting to do this thing. It's time and place and all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like one of the mm-hmm. other characters, has an affair and is in a, you know, similar, they're similar mm-hmm. of similar age. They mm-hmm. have similar age children and sort of, you know, choosing if something is happiness or if it's frivolity or if it's meaningful or if it's not meaningful, like those things are not clear cut at all. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you showed that, that none of the choices that we make are, you know, 100% for anybody. Cause that's how it is. They can't be. They 100% can't.
Yeah. I think people get into knots about making decisions and thinking, will this be the right choice? But you will never know. You can only make the choice that you make for that time in your life with the information that you have and the feelings that you have. Right.
Yeah. And also that you hope that over time, you know, you grow and you're able to understand things. And if you do something wrong, that you can in some way, you know, apologize to someone or, you know, do something to, if you can gain that level of awareness.
Yeah. What we're saying is there's some big truths in what you once believed by Andrea McPherson.
Totes. Totally. Oh my God. The only last thing because I'm now a gardener. It's my third year gardening, but I feel like you tie in so much caretaking and gardening and plant life. Like there's this whole other world of these women who are spending time because they live in a small area, they have homes, they have gardens. So there's this concept of caretaking throughout the book and what that looks like. And so someone like Camille, her caretaking is of women in a broad sense through her writing.
Yep.
And then someone like Gigi or even, there's a ton of plants in this book. That's all I will say.
Plants everywhere.
There's fucking goddamn plants all over the place. And I love plants and I'm happy they exist.
That was probably my own like plant frustration with,
do you think,
why won't you grow? Do things, you know, that kind of stuff.
That writing in those sections was very tender. That's all I want to say.
It was tender. Yeah.
Like the tenderness of the cultivating of the plants and even descriptions of other gardens that they like encounter or backyards. Like it, yeah.
There's a lot of yard life.
There's tons.
Now that I think about it,
there is a
lot of yard life.
Like as I was reading, I was like, there is so much greenery, which I loved. And so thinking about these young women being reared and then the stuff growing around them. Because also this is a book that takes place in the summer. So like it's prime time for
everything to sprout.
Yeah, totally.
Sprout.
I like sprout.
We're going to sprout the beans.
Let's jump to Fraser Valley Lit Fest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Third year now going into?
Second year?
No, third.
No, second? Third.
We're... Second will be this.
Because you've rebranded.
Yes. No, originally it was the Mission Readers and Writers Festival, which went on for 10 years.
Oh.
And then last year was the first time we took it over to change it.
Oh.
This year will be the second. It's happening, but third year planning is in place. So
okay. Yeah. So your artistic director.
Mm-hmm.
How is this going? Because you're heading a brand new festival. I don't think people understand that this is what you're doing. Heading a brand new festival in an area that has been underserved.
Yeah,
definitely.
In the literary arts for a long time. How is this? Is it stressful? What is happening?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's like, I love it when I get to that day and I can see everything happen. And then, you know, the celebration on one night, the panels the next day, but it is a lot of work for a community that definitely has traditionally been underserved in terms of arts programming, in terms of literary events, all those kind of things. Even though there's a lot of writers who come out of the Fraser Valley, but there's not a lot of events that happen in the Fraser Valley, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Because Dina and I were there last year.
It
was a good time.
It was a great time.
I loved it.
Really good.
I had an amazing time.
What was the lineup the year we were there? We had Kim Fu.
A lot of people.
Yep.
Now my mind.
Carly Baker was there.
So our keynotes were Belay Nickerson.
And Carly Baker.
Carly Baker, Renee Saklakar.
Oh, yeah. These.
So good.
Yeah.
Dreamboats, all.
All of them. Yeah. And there was three panels with awesome people all the way around. We had both Dina and Jen.
Yeah.
We had Wade Compton. We had Kim Fu. We had
Kevin Spence.
We had Jen Curran. We had Shalene Knight.
Yeah, wonderful.
On and on. I will have to give props that last year, Belay, as our writer in residence, did a lot of work on it as well. He was very instrumental in, we kind of, there's a long story behind it, but it was a last minute endeavor in a lot of ways. And he was really great at helping to curate who would be there and how it should look and how it would work.
I was just very honored that I got to be on a panel with like very serious, smart people instead of my usual panel. Of dirtbags. Just kidding. I'm always the singular dirtbag with like very smart people.
I mean, people, I don't know if people know this, but Rosie was at the,
Rosie was there.
Fraser Valley Lighthouse.
And we recorded a live episode with Kim Fu with Rosie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Cascade offices.
We did. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was very, very fun.
Rosie fully endorses the Fraser Valley Lit Fest. Yeah.
She only barked at all the dudes. It was great.
It's true.
She did bark at all the dudes.
Yeah. So are you doing anything differently this year?
The only thing that we're doing differently is there's two panels on the Saturday, not three, just because of financing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But the same idea, like multi-genre panels, lots of different people, keynotes, all those things, the good things.
Yeah, I have to say that's one of my favorite things. I love multi-genre panels.
I do too.
I think we, for many years, got so used to panels being not just having to be singular genre, but having to be like, even within that, like micro-genre, like, this is thrillers only about a specific thing of like women who murder their husbands. Like the level of specificity.
I would also go to that 100%.
No, I mean, I'm not against it, but I think, the level of specificity had to be very obvious.
Yeah.
Whereas I actually think thematically, it's more interesting to have people that are writing similarly thematically or subject wise, as opposed to it just being like, you know, something so cut and dry as that. I really valued that. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yay. Can you give us a sneak peek into who's coming in this fall?
I know you released some.
Because we want friends of the podcast. We want friends of the podcast to buy tickets and to attend.
You released some of the people who are going to be appearing.
So one of our keynotes is going to be Michael V. Smith.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Friend of the pod. True human delight.
Former guest.
Yes. Just as of today, Laisha Rostow is also going to be a keynote.
Also friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. Former guest. Current editee.
Well, her novel, Little Fortress, which is coming out in the fall, was edited by me.
Yeah.
It's great. And apparently they are going to release it earlier so she can bring it to the festival. Yes!
Amazing. Amazing.
Because Buck Rider Books and Will Second Wind are the best people.
Truly wonderful. And her book, Our Familiar Hunger, this absolutely beautiful poetry collection, was just the recipient of the Dorothy Livesay Poetry Prizes,
The Beastie Book Prizes.
Just absolutely a beautiful collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh, so amazing.
Definitely.
Yep.
Who else do we have? Doretta Lau is coming.
Friend of the podcast, former guest.
Friend of the podcast, former guest. One of the first guests. In like first, she was like in the first five guests we had, I think.
Jay Simpson.
What? Friend of the podcast, former guest.
Am I just
human delight. One of my fave people.
Who else are we having? My brain. Oh, Shazia.
Friend of the podcast.
Shazia.
Did we help curate this with the podcast?
I am on the advisory.
She is on the advisory.
For the brain. Good job, Jen.
Hassan Namir.
Yay.
Haven't had him on the pod.
We should maybe have him on
friend of the
podcast.
Friend of the cast, though.
And I feel like that's all that I've announced so far.
Those are all amazing.
I'm super excited for it.
Stellar lineup.
Yeah. Stellar. Yeah. Hassan's new collection also is just like...
Yeah. Hassan, are you a friend of the podcast?
Jay's work is,
I mean, Jay,
fucking, I just feel they're so smart. It's so emotionally astute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say genre straddling in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm a big fan of Jay's work.
Yeah.
Big fan of Jay poetry, as a person.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Love Jay.
Agree.
Rosie loves Jay.
Rosie loves Jay. Yeah. 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 Oh, also big news about former guest, friend of the pod, Jessica Johns.
I saw that.
Taking over as the managing editor of Room Magazine. Mm-hmm. And
she will do a great job.
Doing work with Growing Room. Yeah. Big fan. Sasha, also former guest, friend of the podcast, Shalene Knight today.
Lovely Shalene.
Also, I mean, the thing about Vancouver and the literary scene here is that really... I feel like on a weekly basis, I end up seeing people either socially or at something. Yeah. And... I love that it's not too big.
We love.
I agree.
We love. We love.
We Definitely. Love. We love. We love. We love. I want to know before we get into the two most important things.
Uh oh.
Rage and emotions.
Yeah.
I have one other thing too. What do you? You said you're not. You didn't say you weren't organized, but you said you don't like map stuff out.
I'm not organized.
So like, how do you? Sort of keep all the things you're doing in check. Like the writing you said doesn't happen when you're teaching.
Yeah. Not at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm. So only if your students are doing like a prompt or something, yeah, you'll jump in. Yeah,
I'll do those kind of things. But like,
so you'll do like, and that may be generative in some way, but it's not necessarily going in a bigger direction.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about with things like the festival? Like, are you, you're obviously starting to plan that well into the school year.
Mm-hmm. It's a... It doesn't start, I would say it starts planning in like in December.
Okay.
So it's a later.
So the
later,
term's over.
Yeah. And then the bigger part of it usually happens kind of the end of spring term. So into summer when I'm supposed to be not teaching.
Okay.
Is when a lot of that
so
happens.
So you've kind of like orchestrated it in a way that you can manage it.
I can manage it.
Okay.
It's,
that's good.
It's still, it's a lot of moving parts. But,
yeah, of course.
But
I mean. Yeah. We both totally understand.
There's a lot of that.
What? Moving parts?
Yeah.
I don't get what that means.
Never
at all.
Heard of them.
Doesn't happen ever. Never.
Okay. Yeah. We are, this episode will come out. It won't quite be solstice, but it'll be almost the first week of summer. Mm-hmm. The truly the most blessed, but also weirdly emotional time.
Cool.
Because
the
then
summer.
You start realizing, that days are going to get shorter and eventually it's going to end, which is tragic. So, and this book takes place during the summer, like we already discussed. So I thought I would come up with a little game. It's not really a little game, but what I want us to do is play like a rapid fire version. Okay. And I'm just calling it summer or summer because both of the choices are summary.
Okay.
You just have to choose which one you want.
Did you say summer or summer?
Yeah.
That's basically the best.
Okay. So it's truly the best. Either or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just pick one or the other.
Okay.
So I'm going to go fast and we're just going to go around.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Bikini or one piece?
Bikini.
Bikini.
Bikini. Got it. Chilled rosé or margarita?
Rosé.
Ooh. Margarita.
I'm going to go with the rosé. Poolside or beachside? This is a tough one.
Beachside.
I'm always going to pick beachside.
I'm always
going to
pick
beachside. I think I am
beachside.
Too.
Yeah. Okay. Swimming or sleeping?
Swimming.
Sleeping. Swimming. Outdoor patio or air conditioning?
Outdoor patio.
Yes. An ice cream cone or a popsicle?
Ice cream cone.
Also ice cream cone. I mean, popsicles are good, but...
Popsicle.
Oh, popsicles are great. I wore my popsicle dress yesterday and I felt powerful.
I'm very into the popsicle.
Strawberries or raspberries?
Raspberries.
Yeah, they're the best. They're the best. I love how...
Can you tell we're like
entirely in agreement we are?
Can we just also say we're sitting in a room with three Leos?
I know. That's true. Three Leos together. Uh-huh. Approaching summer.
Uh-huh.
Shit is getting very serious. Okay, I only have two more.
Okay.
Jorts or a romper?
Romper.
Romper.
Yes. Boating or floating?
Floating.
Yes, floating. Oh my God. What a joy. I feel like there were only like two where we diverged.
But they were about things that were equally delightful.
The thing is, all of these are equally delightful.
Some are not.
That's true. I guess.
I really like romper and jorts. That's a very distinct. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I do have a nice pair that I got last year of like high waisted, very stretchy
Fair.
Shorts. Mm-hmm. So they're not actually cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty comfortable. I kind of forget that I'm wearing them.
The chilled rosé margarita was like Sophie's choice
that
for
one,
me.
That one is a hard one. I'll give you that one.
It's a tough one. Also, I don't love air conditioning. Like it's fine, but it also sometimes upsets me and I think it makes me ill.
Interesting.
Like if I'm in a super cold mall, I'm like, oh, I actually have to get out of here. It's too stressful. Hmm.
Yeah. Like I need,
like I get a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Anyway.
I'll get a nosebleed.
Oh my God. Jen's got a nosebleed. Hi Rosie. She literally just came up and started licking all of my limbs. She knows. She loves summer too.
She's on fire.
You're a summer bee.
I don't know. You know.
She's good to go.
Jen.
Yeah.
Are you ready to be emotional?
I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
Am I know. It's tough.
It's been like a tough the only thing is, okay, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
What do you want? Do you want to say something to preempt?
No, I just want to say okay. No, go ahead.
Okay.
I might ad lib. Is that crazy?
No, that's fine. And we can talk about it after too. You don't need to only take your 1 minute. Yeah, I'm going to start the timer now.
So I like just found out recently that a friend of mine who's one of my best friends and her ex died. And it's like a whole thing because they have kids together. And I just started thinking about the roles that men have with their families, with their children, with their partners. And it just made me so incredibly sad because so many times I think I see these relationships occur and then they break down. And then it's the women who are left taking care of everything, who are the ones taking care of the house, the children, the lunches. And I think, what do these men, not all men, hashtag not all men, what do these men think happens if these women don't do? What happens when we don't? What happens if I don't? I don't know. Will that person pick up the slack or not? And in this particular instance, she's a very dear friend of mine. Her children are very dear to me. What did he think was going to happen when he decided to not be a part of their lives? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just it's okay. Make the noises.
But at first it had a different one and it was called Uplift, which I found upsetting. So that's why I had to change it.
You know what? It's fine. This is one of those like emotion corners that I didn't script and I don't even really know how I'm feeling about it yet. It's been so very new because it was really just yesterday. So I don't really know how I feel about it, but it's a real thing. And yeah. I will say I talked to Oscar about it, the kid, and I was talking to Oscar about like his friend and trying to help him through his grief. And I said to him, you know, he's going to be really upset and have all these feelings, and he's going to say or do things that are not common for him or not usual for him. And you as a friend, you're just going to have to not take it personally and try to support him through all this time. And I think Oscar got it, which I think is really good. You know, Oscar has a very sweet heart. And bless his heart in that respect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
what a sweet guy.
He's a sweet guy. Very good friends with Andrea's daughter, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They get along like a house on fire. Mm-hmm. They're a lot alike. They look nothing alike, but they're a lot alike spiritually.
I like hearing about your like group hangouts.
Well, I feel like it's because like Oscar's a mini you and Nora is a mini me.
Yes.
So we get along. So they get along.
True.
Like it's.
Yeah. They get along like a house on fire.
They do.
Delightful. Which brings us back to what we once believed, because there was a house on fire in that.
There
novel.
Sure was.
Spoiler alert.
More spoilers all over the place.
Dina, let's hear about your rage.
All right.
Yes.
So this is kind of a hate minute. I hate that after the final report on the inquiry into murdered and missing Indigenous women, girls, including trans, two-spirit, non-binary, and queer people, after that was released, that people wanted to take that time to deny that it was a genocide, that they even think it is up for discussion because it is not. You need to leave that up to, I don't know, Indigenous people and Indigenous journalists and people who are well-informed and maybe have read the report to actually talk about it. I hate that we will probably have a shitty conservative government come this fall because of how hateful people are. I hate that I don't know how to talk to people that disagree with me ideologically, and I hate that I can't change their minds. I just don't know how. I hate that shitty governments breed more hate, more disenfranchisement, fewer resources for people that really need them. And I hate myself for all the jumpsuits that I can't stop buying to try and feel a semblance of joy instead of hating myself.
Jumpsuits are awesome.
Jumpsuits are awesome.
I mean, they're the best.
I bought
yourself.
Two this week.
Did you?
I'm excited to see them.
I'll show you them. But okay. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. I know.
It's been a time.
Yeah, a lot of people are fucking struggling, and it's I just feel heartbroken, but then also I just want to make a lot of jokes in the hopes that it cheers people up a little bit.
I think it does.
Fart, the end. Thank you. That's the end of the podcast. We're done. No, we're not done. Before we leave, Jen, is there anything you want people to know, stuff that's going on with you?
Not really. I'm...
Not summer vacation, really.
Anticlimactic.
I am just writing right now. It's not really that exciting.
Yeah.
Friends of the podcast. There'll be a book someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know when. We'll find out.
There'll be multiple books. You've got poetry and nonfiction to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. Jen, I do. Yeah. Some kids' books, too.
Some kids' books. Right, you finished.
That's very prolific.
A draft.
Yes, it's called A Place to Call Home, The Journey of Immigrants and Refugees by Jen Suk Fung Lee.
It's going to be great.
There you go.
I'm so happy that you got that done and you made it happen.
I did. Andrew's taking pictures of Rosie.
I mean, I've been taking pictures of Rosie throughout and everyone here. When you see my Instagram and it's just, there are mics involved, I'm always just like live, like photoing the podcast as it's happening.
Documentary.
Because that's fun. It's just a fun time.
What's going on with you though?
I have I have two more summer events. Well, technically I have three, but no one's going to go to one of them. So
bite your tongue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a bunch of people will, but no one here. It's not happening here. On July 15th, I will be in Harrison Hot Springs. Ooh. They have an arts festival, and I can't remember the name of everyone I'm going to be performing with, but one of the people will be friend of the pod, former guest, Jillian Christmas.
Yay!
Awesome. Human delight. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And on July 18th, I'll be reading at Locution, UBC MFA's Locution. Mm-hmm. During the week, they have their summer intensive. So hopefully there'll be a lot of fun people in town. I think that will be a fun time. Yeah. I will read my grossest poems.
The grossest?
I'm promising
like the
now.
The one about pubes?
I'll definitely read the pubes poem.
Yeah, excellent. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my employer will be there and other people that I want respect from. And I'm definitely just going to read the dirtbaggiest shit.
As one does.
It's summer. I mean,
I feel like all bets are off in summer.
All bets are off in summer. Mm-hmm. You'll definitely see some pubes in summer.
We are all going to see some pubes in the summertime. And we just have to be okay with that.
I think just celebrate it.
Yeah.
I celebrate my love for pubes.
It's funny that you went that way because I was thinking more like, you know, like house music, like bush.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Also
yeah.
fair. Also
I like
fair.
It. No, these are all good.
There's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer. You can like have a metal song about bush.
Uh-huh.
You can do like a slow ballad, like a singer-songwritery kind of like folky jam.
Yeah. I think folky summed it up right there.
Yeah. Like you got a lot of options, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I hope you are as hairy or not hairy as you want to be this summer. And that's the message I want to leave you with. And if people want to find you online, Andrea, where should they go?
You're putting me on the spot because I don't know any of these things. Places.
What's your website?
I don't. AndreaMcPherson.com.
See, that's what I thought.
But it hasn't been updated in a while. So
that's okay. I mean, you're...
Andrea's on the Twitter.
Andrea's on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of
but
course,
it's mostly just book pictures. Nothing like super exciting.
We love book
but
pictures.
But sometimes it's your legs in a bikini with books. So it's like often, very.
It's often my legs.
It's literotica. It's like a real summer showcase.
Hey, who likes literotica? All of you.
Everybody. And if you want to find us online, you can obviously follow us on Cantlit on Twitter, Cantlit on Facebook, and on Instagram. Jen and I do use our own accounts. I'm Del Botchery. She's Jen Leifer. And that's where you will find the selfies in addition to Twitter that we will be taking momentarily after we slather more lip stuff on our faces.
Yeah, hello.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, we only have one question left for you.
Okay.
And that is,
I'm ready.
What can't you with?
What can't I with?
Yeah.
Okay, today I can't with people who live directly beside elementary schools and put pylons up to prevent parents from parking to pick up their children. Today, I can't with that.
I hear you.
That is terrible.
If you're going to live by an elementary school, you're going to see parents and
you're
kids.
You're going to be inconvenienced for 20 minutes
exactly.
a day.
It's not a long time.
That is awful.
And also he was power washing his driveway, which is unnecessary in any form.
Why do people use water like this?
I don't know.
Okay.
People are nightmares.
Like, stop power washing. Put the pylons up your butts.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag butt stuff. Just
hashtag pylon stuff.
Is like that a hashtag pylon is, butt stuff?
Is, I mean, again, sun's out, pubes out. Hashtag pylon butt stuff. And this is a literary podcast. Thank you for listening.
Super.
Thank you for being here. What a lovely guest. Love you. Love you. Rosie, I love you. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.